This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You want to hiss up and get involved in the conversation, we'll be on the Twitch or on the YouTube. You can also text us 877-881-1053, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Anything in particular the Rangers have to do in this Astros series to keep you believing?
Quick update. Everybody has filled in their seats now for the second set.
Did they?
Like, literally, maybe we just don't pay attention. Maybe the first set of the second semifinal, everybody's going to the bathroom or getting food or whatever.
That's an interesting point.
And then now it's completely full again. Now, but the Rangers need to win 2 out of 3.
Okay. And Corey, before you answer, I just want to remind you of how glorious this series can be. If we can go to cut number 10, this is as good as it gets.
And the pitch swung on and a high fly ball hit to left field. This is deep. Back is Brantley at the wall. He's looking up, and that ball is history. It just barely makes it into the Crawford boxes. A 2-home run game for Adolis Garcia. That was a moonshot. 15 RBIs in this series for Adolis. It's 11-3, Texas.
That was after Evan Carter jumped, and you were like, no, don't jump Evan Carter.
But it was also after I saw those two idiots in the astronaut suits sitting there.
I think I still have a picture of that on my...
Astronaut suits? Did I say it wrong?
It sounded like you said it funny.
Okay. But they look like idiots, and they were sad, and obviously all of the easy headlines were, Houston, we've got a problem. Yeah, look at those dummies.
I still have a screenshot
just sitting there, and that guy representing Whataburger is like, you guys are stupid. So what do the Rangers need to do? Now, you just said, Mike, win 2 out of 3, and I decided to look back because we kind of talked about this earlier. I also agree 2 out of 3. That would get you to within 3.5 games of the Astros at the break. If you lose the series, you would either be 5.5 or 7.5 games behind just Houston, not to mention Seattle, and you're already losing the season series 4-3. We're not ahead in the season series.
We're losing.
We're losing it 4-3.
I read something wrong.
You only have one more series with Houston in the second half. You host them August 5th to August 7th. So it does feel like, this is not fair because you still have a lot of baseball, but it feels like if you lose this series, even 2-1, man, that's going to be bad.
Well, you start going, how many times am I going to believe? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're getting to the point where you're getting closer and closer to game 100. And by the time you get to game 100, if you need to go 50-10,
right?
You're like, we're not going 50-10, especially if you've played. I mean, I get this. I did play in 07, and the Colorado Rockies might have gone like 25-1 to finish that year. And I'm not exaggerating that number. That's how crazy it was. And they got into a one-game playoff situation and won that game. And then they went on and went to the World Series.
And then they got swept, right?
And they got swept. After sweeping, I think, in the playoffs. They didn't lose a playoff game in the National League. Then they got swept by Boston in the World Series. But I don't want to get to a point where going, well, if we win every game in September, I think we might make a wild card spot.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. So at some point, you need to get back to 500 before August. And then at that point, you're asking to play 15 games over 500. You've played only 500 baseball through 100 games. And then at that point, you're like, well, maybe if you play 15 games over 500 the final 2 months, maybe you sneak into the playoffs. You just start doing the math and start seeing how your team's played through 100 games and going, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's a really big factor is, can you do enough consistently to convince yourself that you're that good. And that's really all I need for them to make me believe, Kevin, is be consistent throughout the series and convince yourself that you're still hitting well. Because, again, I know Josh Jung, people are like, hey, man, like him not being in the lineup is definitely a factor. It's a definite huge factor. Evan Carter, virtually non-existent this year. Huge factor, considering what that team was last year. And so things are definitely different. But if you can start scoring some runs against them, you might have a stinker, dude. You might have one of those 22-1 games where you're just like, oh, God.
Can I give you real quick the three teams that have a better record than the Rangers? And let me ask you what you think their chances are of making the playoffs.
Okay.
Because I want to believe in these Rangers, and I still am. But it's really tough when you start looking at records that you're around. All right, a team that's just barely better than you by a half a game. These three teams are better barely than you by a half a game. The Detroit Tigers, what's their chances of making the playoffs?
Not great.
Probably 0%,
yeah.
Right? But yet, they have one more win than you do.
Yeah.
How about the San Francisco Giants?
Not great either, because aren't they fourth in their division,
yeah.
I feel like?
And then the Cincinnati Reds. They're all 45-49, and you're 44-49. You start going, gosh, I want people to hope. I want the fans to hope. Obviously, I want them to tune in tonight. I'll be on the pregame show and postgame show on Bally's for the three games today. So I want people to be excited about it. But then you just start looking around. You're one game better than the Toronto Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays are one of the major teams in the selling category.
And a huge disappointment.
Yeah. And so it's just really tough. I'm like, so this series, you look at it and you go, they're 49-44. You're 44-49. And I'm like, you have to win this series, because how much more do you want me to hope until I just start looking around? You have a similar record to the Washington Nationals, Toronto Blue Jays, Tigers, Giants, and Reds, and you want me to believe that you guys are going to end up getting close to 90 wins? Should I believe any of those teams are going to get close to 90 wins?
Yeah, and that is one benefit that the Rangers have in terms of their division specifically, because obviously if you go to the wild card, it gets bogged down a lot more, and somebody said it's not just about how far back you are, but how many teams you have to jump. That is a good part about being in this terrible division this year, is, and that's why the Houston series feels so important, is because you can make up some ground on them, and then it's just them and the Mariners ahead of you. So, like, if you want to get into the wild card, obviously there's more teams you'd have to jump over, but this feels like an easier path.
Do you feel like you have the pitching to make that kind of run, to make something special actually happen?
Because I just want to believe. Do you? You're 44-49. It's tough to believe in any of this.
Yeah. But none of that's just been consistent.
We're just
either
hoping, and then you're basing it on last year. Chris Young has said multiple times he's basing all of this off of last year. He's not basing any of it off of this year.
Yeah.
What could you do this year? What is right now Toronto, Detroit, San Francisco, Cincinnati, and Washington? What are their GMs saying about this year? Because they didn't win the championship last year. So they're looking at it going, hey, either we're an up-and-coming team who's building towards 2025, or this is a really bad year.
You're right, because I think it was at the beginning of the week, perhaps with G-Bag, that he said this is a team that had gone 40-20. And you're like, no, I mean, I know that happened last year, but now you're 44-49. It's a way bigger sample size. You closed out the season from 40-20 playing sub 500 ball before being amazing in the playoffs.
Now, obviously, the perfect scenario is you sweep. That looks really tough. The way Houston has played, especially after the first 25 games of the season versus how you've played, that doesn't look possible. But if you get to 47-49 and put them at 49-47, yeah, you are feeling great about how you went into the All-Star break, giving yourself an opportunity. But if you get swept, it's over.
Yeah.
I am going to come in here on Monday for the All-Star break. If the Rangers are 44-52 and get swept in Houston, and I will go, it's time to, I don't know what the Rangers are willing to sell, but it's time to sell, and it's time to think about 2025.
Hit me 13 home runs this weekend.
Oh,
I know that sounds insane, because it's like four home runs plus four home runs a game right there.
That is a lot of home runs.
But I'd love to see something like that. Take out Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman throughout the series and hit me 13 home runs.
Okay.
7-1 game if you have to. All right. Like, I get it.
That is a lot.
So you ask, Kevin. Okay. So I'm trying to give you some cold hard numbers here.
Okay. The Astros started the season 14-25. Since then, they've gone 35-19. They have. So
that's the team you're playing right now, not the 7-19 or the, what'd you just say, the record?
14-25.
Yeah. I mean, they started off horribly bad.
And I'm with you in terms of if the Rangers get swept,
it's over.
I know. I wonder if my brain would try to convince it on Monday, but just the facts look like it would probably be over. But on the flip side, and this just shows how crazy a swing you can get with just a 3-game series. If the Rangers, I know the Astros are playing exceedingly well, but if the Rangers were to sweep, now I'm looking at a team that I feel like, man, they have been playing awesome down the stretch. I realized they lost that game to the Angels. But before that, you had won 5 in a row. You would say, I'm going into the All-Star break having won 8 of 9. And this is the closest that I've been to 500 since the beginning of June, I think, give or take. That would give me all the confidence in the world. And that's just a 3-game series. How much I could feel like, oh, here we come versus we're done.
Yeah, plus Altuve can't play this weekend, as they said from the 817, because he's not going to play in the All-Star game.
I bet he somehow.
What are you talking about?
Way.
He's too hurt to play in the All-Star game.
Somehow.
As a player, you never do this math, but just the quick math. We're going to go on extremes here.
Okay.
If you get swept, I'm going to say you got to get to 88 wins.
Okay.
Just to feel comfortable that you're going to make it. You have to go 44-22 the rest of the way. That would be what you have to do.
Yikes.
In your final games.
And you'd be coming off of 44-52.
Yeah.
So I need to win the same amount of games with 30 less losses.
Yes. So you just look at it and go, it's impossible. It ain't happening.
Yeah.
And then if you sweep 41-25. That just sounds more doable.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to sweep, and I'm not saying they're going to get swept.
But
more than likely, they're either going 1-2 or 2-1 in this series. But you look at the extremes, and if you get swept, and then all of a sudden, Seattle's playing the Angels right now, and then Houston is playing you. So you really need to win this series, because if you can be at 46 wins, you look at it and go, look, it's still going to be tough. You're going to have to play approximately 20 games over 500 the rest of the way. But that's what you've put yourself in a position to do, is you have to play the rest of the way approximately 20 to 25 games over 500.
Obviously, you can hear all of those games right here on 105 Through the Fan starting tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7:10 first pitch. Can we do some more shout-outs?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just looking at the season and how, like, this is the best stretch of baseball they've played all year.
For sure.
And against bad teams, but it's the best stretch that they've played all year. And maybe it's just the right time. That's all my eyes were doing, Kevin.
Man.
Just looking at the way the season is
going. You don't
have
to worry about Kyle Tucker either. He hasn't played since June 3rd.
Yeah.
So. Don't get me wrong, Corey.
Kyle Tucker must be a cancer to their team because they've played better without him. So.
Man, I also look back at that Rockies team. Just bananas. So they finished the regular season, including the +1 game, 14-1. And then they won all 7 of their National League playoff games. So now they're up to 21-1. And then they get swept in the World Series. And I remember some people at the time where they had more than a week off or something. And they're like, oh, they need to keep playing. And
yeah, because they swept everybody in the playoffs. They had to wait a while for the World Series to start. And it's like they lost all their momentum because they're not that good. And I'll tell you what, they didn't win it. But you just brought up earlier in the show, hey, could the Rangers, based off this article, be the flukiest World Series champion ever? If Colorado would have won that World Series,
that probably
they
feels
probably
like it
would have been in the history of baseball the flukiest champion of all time.
Because you literally would have had like a month of games where they took over the world. It is a shout out Friday from the 214. Shout out to my granddaughter. She made the world famous Kilgore Rangerettes.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Inspiring offensive lines all across the country.
What?
Because when their synchronization, I talked about this yesterday, Kevin.
Oh, that's right. That is true. I was like, do they call their offensive line that too? That makes sense. From the 253, can I get a shout out for my son? He turns 25 today. Happy birthday, Bronco. Happy birthday to the Bronco, indeed. And then from the 214, shout out to my Garland PD brothers, Big Lee, Mario, and Koobs. I don't know if that's Gary Kubiak, if that's what you were going to ask. I'm just trying to process.
Every time I hear Mario, one like the only thing that pops into my head.
That's Luigi. I like that. And then from the 817, shout out to my daughter, Victoria. She has a job interview at 1:30, hoping she owns it and kicks some ass.
What's she interviewing for?
Okay, we'll have to follow up on that. Coming up next, though, we move into the expressway. We got Mike Likes It, of course, but also it's National French Fry Day. So it's time for the combo platter. Give us a sports opinion. And then what is the single best place to get French fries? There can only be one. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here comes Crook. A swing and a drive deep down the line and left. It's hooking at the foul pole. That ball is history. Wyatt Langford has hit for the cycle. It's a 3-run Jimmy Jack to finish it off. And the Rangers lead 11-2. How about that?
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Shout out to the people who send out emails for company-wide appointments and send 50,000 of them. I got it, man.
I don't even know what that training is.
Also, from the 806, can I get a shout out for breaking 90 this morning in golf? But I can't say my name because I'm supposed to be working. This person has texted in before. I could reveal their name.
Scotty Scheffler.
I don't.
He broke 90.
Good for him.
That feels really disappointing.
Mike's looking at me like, I
for Scotty Scheffler.
He would be at work.
True.
Valid. Well, unless he had like an appearance to be at and he was out golfing.
He's shooting baskets right now. He wouldn't be at work.
Well,
from the 817, shout out to the fan phenom Blake Elliott for the outstanding job he did covering the Dallas Mavericks through the playoffs, finals, and now this offseason. Proud to be your mom, Kimberly, original Tolo Platinum.
Oh, wow.
Tolo Platinum.
You know, I'm taking that out of context of you just
oh, man.
Claiming to be someone's mother, right?
Proud to be your mom.
Okay, well.
I didn't know she listens. That's awesome.
Oh, no. Miss Kim's listening all the time.
All the time?
Tolo Platinum.
What does that mean?
Okay.
Well, Blake,
I didn't know we had tiers of Tolo.
Yeah, on the weekends, they were talking about, you know, the folks that watch on the streaming, and so it was like, they tried to create a whole new name where it's like Tolo Plus, Tolo Platinum, those types of things. And apparently she's a Tolo Platinum.
I like it. I like that even more now.
Also, in case you care, Patrick Mahomes and his wife are going to have a third kid.
Don't. But hey, Kevin, I am interested.
His age, huh?
What? Isn't he like,
oh, isn't he like
28?
55?
No, Pat. Okay. Shut up.
Mahomes Jr.
Smoking on cigars.
Mahomes Jr.
No. No.
Smoking on that Joe Burrow.
I'm not doing that. It's Patrick Mahomes. You know who I'm talking about. Nobody knows except for Mike and like a handful of other people. Most people don't know who Patrick Mahomes Sr. is.
Hold on. This is one of the few circumstances in which that does matter because we did know his pops. In fact, I'm going to go ahead as we're doing the combo platter, right? Yes?
Give me the bell.
I am immediately giving you my particular sports opinion, which is, hey, man, if we don't know who your daddy is, you don't need to put Junior on the back of your jersey. And if we don't know who your son is, we don't need you to put Senior on there. I do not care about it.
Does he put Junior on the back of his jersey?
He does not. But I think this is pursuant to what you were talking about, right? Like, I just don't.
I agree.
Except for Steve Smith Sr.
You
go
guys
ahead and
remember
do that.
When Ronald Acuna played Major League Baseball for a long time?
Junior?
I don't.
No. So you just want it to be Ronald Acuna?
And I blame Robert Griffin for this.
I do think Ronald Acuna Sr., I guess, played professional baseball but didn't make the major leagues.
Okay.
But I've had this rant for a while that
I've often said that we think alike.
I don't care about like this junior thing unless your dad did something.
And what would be your French fry opinion? Because it is National French Fry Day. If there can only be one, like the Highlander, where is the absolute best place to get French fries?
It is weird that we're taking shots at a former Texas Ranger here. We won't even recognize the former Texas Ranger, Patrick Mahomes Sr.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of things that are confusing to me. Why did Amazon come out with a show that's a sequel to Sausage Party where the food took out the entire human race and have tried to restart their own food civilization? Who is that for?
The food.
Okay. That sounds like an acid trip.
Okay, great.
And if it, who's it from?
Was that Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen, yeah. Who just admittedly,
I don't know if he signed off on this.
Just admittedly on like Jimmy Kimmel Live was like, yeah, I went to see Grateful Dead at the Sphere and took a whole bunch of acid.
Sensational.
I like going to Smashburger. Have you ever been to Smashburger?
I still have not.
Their smash fries are good. I think they will do some like potatoes. Olive oil, rosemary, that type of stuff.
Smash potatoes if they're smash fries.
No, there's, I guess technically you are correct in that way. But no, they're... They're regular.
You
I guess.
Smash up fries, all Mike. Right. It's mashed potatoes. Okay.
They've been fried already. So doing mashed potatoes is you take a potato and you boil them or bake them. Uh-huh. And then you mash them up with, let's say, milk and cream and butter and stuff like that. If you just take French fries and you mash them up, those are just French fries. You fried the potato. You first
of all
oiled
them. It's a big
old pile
of mashed potato.
It's not going to be creamy at all. You have to put milk or cream and butter and all of those things in it, or sour cream.
I think that Mike is correct that it would not be what our typical definition of mashed potatoes are. But Corey, you are right in the technical sense that they would be potatoes that have been mashed.
Thank you.
I think that we bridged that gap regardless.
So smash fries.
Yeah, smash fries is the name of the fries. They'll put like olive oil, like rosemary, and I think another seasoning. I can't recall exactly, but they taste really good. I like them.
It's a good one right there. I have to give this some thought, Kevin.
From the...
Do you know what rosemary tastes like, Kevin?
Does it taste like thyme with an H?
I don't know, but she has a baby. And yes, uh-huh.
A little bit, but not a lot.
It's got a very distinct aroma to it.
I feel like if you've ever had like a rotisserie chicken, you might have the smell of rosemary with that chicken.
Yeah. I like rotisserie chicken, so... That makes sense.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Good.
From the 817, Klay Thompson breaks the single game 3-point record this year in Wingstop fries with cheese. Ooh. From the another 817, Rangers will sweep the Astros this weekend and force CY not to sell and Burger Street curly fries, which should count as a French fry, are the best. I think curly fry counts as a
Are there
French
people
fry.
That don't count curly fries as a French fry?
Yeah, I definitely.
It's a potato.
Yeah.
That's fried.
Why the hell not?
No, we're not doing this, Corey.
Tater tots are a potato that's fried.
No.
Therefore, French fry.
Ooh, but they're why aren't they called
Through
French
that
fry?
Definition, he's kind of right.
I don't like what you're doing right
Thank
now.
Thank you, Mike.
I've often
but
said we never agree, Kevin.
But then hash would be a French fry, too.
You just said like 5 minutes ago that you and Mike think alike.
I don't recall that. Me and Mike never agree.
You said you've often said that.
I've never said that.
I'm just saying by Corey's definition, if you're frying a potato, that would make it a French fry. You are frying a tater tot. You are, I guess you're pan frying hash browns?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that like at McDonald's or places like that, they actually are frying
they dip
their
it
hash
into the fryer,
they're dipping it in oil. But if you go to like Norma's Cafe, which their power is out.
I think they do it on like the griddle.
Yeah, they're doing it like on a flat top. Yeah, so they're kind of pan. Would you call that pan frying it?
Yes. I don't know. I'm not the ultimate expert in cooking terms.
Hey, man, if you look.
Oh, the potato.
I am so glad that you had that. I have said this for years and years and years. If you're going to bring some smoke on the Fantex, don't be surprised if it gets thrown back at you.
Oh, no. Did you block somebody? Why did you do that? I don't even know where it is. All right. Sports opinion. Paul Skeens.
Oh,
rolls out an immaculate inning to start the All-Star game.
That would be awesome.
And puts an exclamation point on the end of the inning at 102 miles an hour.
All right,
and it's probably best to go out like that, but wouldn't you desperately hope at that point then that he's coming back
like
up?
First pitch is humming in at 99, all right?
And then I think he throws 101 first pitch.
Well, and that was what I couldn't decide was how to go with that, because it does feel like the adrenaline is just going to be there. But I feel like if he's at the end of an immaculate inning, Mike, that last strike is going to be 150.
And by the way, different radar guns give you maybe a hair of a different reading. I would get the juiced gun for the All-Star game.
Okay. Yes! Get the juiced gun for sure!
And for the people asking if they're blocked, if you didn't get a specific response that said shout out to you for getting blocked, you're good.
Honestly, most of the times when people text in and ask if they're blocked, the answer is no.
No.
In fact, like 99% of the time, you are not blocked.
I have 20 emails from this guy.
He's the worst.
I don't need all these emails.
About what?
Shout out to Chris Debbins for, I don't know, apparently the next 8 months, all we're doing is going to staff meetings.
And then my French fry take. You know I love the Brahms crinkle cut fry, but I can typically make those. Rodeo goat. Whatever, they put some sort of salt and parsley, and they fry the parsley also, I think.
Huh.
And those are my favorite fries. They're crispy and almost a little burnt, but they don't taste burnt.
Okay. I just want to make
sure. I've stuck with this for a long time. I love rodeo goat fries.
I've watched enough YouTube on In-N-Out, but I'll let you say what you're going
to
say.
I just wanted to make sure you guys aren't slowly doing a bit, because you said thyme and now you said parsley.
Yeah, they're different.
But are we going to get sage and rosemary? And
we already did
get
rosemary.
He did rosemary first. Okay, so are
sage
you guys
doesn't go great
slowly
with fries.
Just doing a bit for that song?
Why would we tell you?
What's the song?
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Oh, is that Art and Garfunkel?
Yeah.
Right? They have a song?
Scarborough Fair.
I think it's Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. But they had Scarborough Fair. That song, too.
It's not that song. Do you have my rosemary? No, that's not the song.
You can call me out.
Okay. All right. So Rodeo Goat is the best, is what you're saying, as you betray Brahms.
My Brahms crinkle. Those are my best fast food fries. But I will take Rodeo Goat fries every time, as long as there's Heinz ketchup, not Hunt's.
Does that really matter that much to you?
Yes.
Like, for real, for real?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for real.
It does.
I mean, Hunt's doesn't make me want to throw up, but I don't want it.
Ringing endorsement.
Baseball
Nuggets brought to you by Hunt's Ketchup.
Doesn't make you want to throw up.
From the 8-1...
I'll eat it, but I'm always disappointed.
Do you guys count, just to make sure I understand the rules here, do you count the potato wedge as a French fry?
I mean, if I count a tater tot as a French fry,
okay,
then
maybe
sure.
I should go to somebody else. Reggie and Mike, do you count the potato wedge as a French fry?
Like at Chick-fil-A?
Or Buffalo Wild Wings?
Wait, Chick-fil-A has potato wedges?
Well, no, they don't. No, you're right. They don't have wedges. They have like the waffle fry.
The waffle fry, yeah.
So wedges as fries, technically I do count it as a French fry. It's a very fat French fry.
If it is one, it's not a great one.
No, yeah, I'm not crazy about it either. It's too potato.
I do like the potato wedge.
It tastes like a mashed potato. It's blander.
Yeah. Oh, but you're good with the tater tot, though?
Because it is, because there's less fry to it, and there's more
potato. It makes for a better dip.
I want crunch.
I feel like.
I want a crunch. Yep.
Potato wedge has got some crunch in them.
Sometimes.
It's more like fluffy potato, though.
Yeah.
On the inside, sure.
Yeah.
Look, Kevin, you can't like what you like, bro.
What?
I was judging you.
As long as it's like not hurting anybody, I feel like maybe you're... Anyways, from the 469...
Yeah, no one's catching on fire because you left the potatoes in the gas pump.
I told you I'm going to work on that. Sports opinion. The Rangers turn it around and win the division to make the playoffs. And the best French fry is the Chick-fil-A waffle fry.
When you get more than five of them.
You feel like they're stingy with the waffle fry? Because they just put it in the box shape.
You don't get a whole waffle fry. You get maybe 4 to 5 waffle fries and then a bunch of little pieces of waffle fry.
I can see that.
So I don't know if Chick-fil-A does this, but I think they should. Because at times I think their fries, waffle fries, are not fried enough.
I agree.
But In-N-Outs are the worst fries of all time. But I haven't done this because I don't go to In-N-Out that much. There's not one near my house. And I think their burgers are solid. I like their burgers. I'm not taking a shot at their burger. Good burger.
Be better if they allowed you to have bacon.
But I'm not, yeah, I'm just not like, oh, In-N-Out's the greatest. But I hear if you ask for your fries well done at In-N-Out, they double fry them, which then makes them crispier and more tastier.
Really?
So if you ever are at In-N-Out, and they do have the worst fries ever created by a fast food restaurant.
Oh, wow.
You ask
even
for,
I think they're too
you ask
lame.
For double fried or well done,
hey.
And they will then double dip them pretty much. They'll dip them for another 2 minutes in the oil, and they will have better flavor to them and a crunchier taste.
Hey, Mike, for your edification, from the 817, they said you can also ask for well done at Chick-fil-A.
Okay. So you can get a little bit more crispier since there's more potato to it at Chick-fil-A.
I'm assuming this is the name of the place from the 214. The Cowboys will make the playoffs, and the one and only burgers and fries in McKinney. But you have to order them extra crispy and zesty.
Zesty, huh?
Yeah. So
burgers and fries in McKinney?
Yeah.
What a name.
That's absolutely what they said. All right, Mike. You have a sports opinion for me?
Only one and only burgers and fries?
Oh, great.
That's a great name. Place. I love
it
that.
Is. It
my
can be
sports
about tennis.
Opinion. No, my sports opinion, because I really I'm struggling with this one. But I think this.
Altuve is a chump.
Week one, Cleveland rushes for over 200 yards.
Against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
But Chubby's not back yet, right? He won't be back for the first game.
He's like three.
I believe that is correct.
3 weeks or so before he's really, I think.
Let's, all right. Let's go look. So I want to put numbers on Deshaun Watson, but I'm 50-50 he's even going to play in the game.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you this question based off my opinion, and I know we're jumping already to week one. Deshaun Watson, do you kind of want him to play because he's so bad at football now?
A little bit. I most certainly don't fear them with Deshaun Watson.
And who's their backup now?
All the backups.
Yeah, they have a couple.
Flacco's gone, right?
That is true.
PJ Walker?
Let me see.
Dorian.
Oh yeah, they added the man who eats the W's himself, Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston,
backup.
Yeah.
Dude, Tyler Huntley. I would rather face Deshaun Watson than Jameis Winston.
Tyler Huntley, Jameis Winston, Deshaun Watson, and Dorian Thomas Robinson.
Thompson.
That's just, I don't know, as we're getting closer to training camp opening, that is just such an interesting game to open up with.
And favorite French fry, I'm assuming, is one you make.
No. I'm not. I do not make French fries.
Okay.
You need to get
I think
fry.
That In-N-Out has showed you making homemade fries might be the stupidest thing ever. I haven't had them in a long time, but I remember every time I go, I really like them, but then they usually are like loaded. It's Snuffers.
Snuffers is a good fry.
That's my wife's favorite place for cheese fries.
Now, regular fries, I still think they're really good, but a lot of times when you go to Snuffers, you load them up with stuff.
Okay, let me ask y'all this, because somebody brought this up.
Ask.
And I think this is my favorite, but somebody said, how has nobody brought up Wingstop fries?
Yeah, it's a good fry.
Oh, with the sugar on it?
Yeah.
That's got to be it,
I don't
right?
know if I've ever had them, oh,
they're
to
good.
Be honest.
Okay, they're pretty good.
And I will tell you one thing about Wingstop fries, and the flaw I've always found with a French fry, though I'm sure people love this, is just eating it by itself is usually not that great. Like, you need some sort of dipping sauce
like
or something.
Like blue cheese.
That might not be my choice, but for some people, sure. The Wingstop fries...
Do you dip it in barbecue sauce?
Yes, barbecue sauce. Sometimes buffalo sauce, but yes. The Wingstop fries, I think you can eat with nothing, and you're rocking along.
I agree.
Those are the only two condiments I like. Hey, Reggie's actually on my side for once.
Yeah, what they usually say about Wingstop is once you pop, you can't stop, considering the fries.
Is that their logo? Or is that their saying?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
Okay.
Maybe it should be.
And my sports opinion to go along with it, regardless of the outcome of this other semifinal, Carlos Alcaraz is taking it down and winning.
Who's winning right now? Is it Djokovic or Mussolini?
It's not. That's not his name either.
That's what Mike keeps saying. I'm just going off what Mike keeps saying.
Is that who you're depending on for your proper pronunciation?
Sometimes I say things that is awesome off the air.
Yeah.
I wish I could say them on the air.
Corey.
It offends too many people.
Musetti.
Be like, well, it's Yeah, but I mean, to me, it just is like, it's just more fun to say Mussolini. But I know he's not playing tennis right now. He's been dead for a long time.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
You think Paolini does it on the women's, or the ladies' draw, I should say?
She's the one, right, who was on the cusp of losing to Madison Keys before Madison Keys got hurt and then gave up a service game and is like, I'm out. I can't. That would be a neat story if she won, like, essentially because she stayed alive. Because
she's
of
so
injury.
Little.
She is. How tall is she? Like 5 foot flat? What? Man, she looks small. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a shout-out Friday from the 317. Shout-out to my daughter who just got a scholarship to IMG Academy for volleyball. Perks of being a 5'10 eighth grader. Wow!
5'10 in the eighth grade?
That is tall as all get-out.
My son's 6'2 in the eighth grade.
Well, look at that.
Wow.
Go ahead and say it, Kevin.
Super tall.
Go ahead and say it. Nope. What are you going to say?
Nope.
He's also a boy.
From the 972.
I thought there was weight.
Can I give a shout out? For 5 years, I worked. I feel like this is from a movie. I'm going to take a pause on that and we'll revisit that. Nah, look, it's a very exciting scenario in which happened, but yeah, I do not believe that I'm going to go with that shout out. But I will say this. It's time for Mike Likes It.
Kevin, you're going to like Mike Likes It.
Can I ask you a question to start?
Yeah.
Is Mike the same off air as when he's on air? I would say yes. Sometimes he will say a few maybe dicier things off air, but I feel like that is human nature.
Yeah.
I think as a human, you're pretty much the same.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, obviously, relationships are different with different people. So my relationship with my kids and my wife are different than what I say with a microphone in front of my face and stuff like that. Sometimes it's the same and it gets me in trouble. But you have to watch what you say on the air. I have plenty of hot takes that I don't want to say.
Yeah.
Because I know it would get me in trouble or people would, you know, come after me or whatever. So, anyways, Mike Likes It. You told me the other day about this show on Netflix called The Man with 1,000 Kids.
Yes.
I've watched the first episode and a hair more than the first episode.
I think there's only three.
Okay. So I have a couple questions for you, and I don't want to give anything away, but there's a man out there who's donating a lot of his stuff, obviously, in a whole bunch of different ways, and he has probably well over 1,000 kids, maybe thousands of kids.
I really want to say something to you.
Oh, it's going to change while I watch more.
Just keep watching, but I will let you know that guy has also filed a lawsuit over
the show.
The show, because first of all, he says the title is misleading. But then when you hear the rest of the lawsuit, you're like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about?
So it should be like the man with less than 1,000 kids.
Yeah, actually, that pretty much his lawsuit says it should be called The Man with, I don't know, like 565 kids.
All right.
And then
so what?
That was helpful.
Let's just say he has somewhere between 200 and 2,000.
A lot of kids.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think that that person knows that he's doing wrong?
Yes. And I believe, continue to watch, and I believe they will push that agenda harder. I absolutely think that. But you know what? I don't think he does either, because in his lawsuit, he says, I have no idea why it's not framed that I helped all these people. And he goes, wow, out of all the people I've helped, Netflix found 5 couples who weren't happy. Good for them. So, like, he seems to believe this, I guess. I do not believe him.
What would drive a person to want that many kids with their genes? Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. Why? This is going to sound like a weird analogy. Why does a dog pee somewhere? Because they want to mark their territory. I believe while watching this that this fella's like, I'm gonna make an impact and could be a terrible legacy, but have
a
legacy.
So this wasn't just a dude like trying to make some extra cash?
I believe as you watch, that is not the case.
Okay.
Maybe you will have a different opinion. I do not think that is what's going on.
Gotcha. There's part of me watching it going, obviously, I believe in heaven and hell. I believe in God and the devil. Is like not like demon possessed that sometimes you might like in.
Yeah.
But like, it almost feels demon possessed that he's doing this in some way, going, I am going to create a world of just my genes.
I do not think that is a far off assertion.
Okay.
I believe that is exactly what he wanted to do. As far as, you know,
he didn't want to father them.
Oh, no.
He just wanted them to
exist. He wants like the world to be his.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That I think that is a very fair
eventually
assertion.
He won't be around, but 100, 200 years from now, 50% of the population would have his gene.
Yeah.
But then obviously these parents seem to be obvious, and I would be very scared too that if at least from where I'm at in the episode, if I'm in a region where there's 1,000 half brothers and sisters that my son or daughter have, and then I don't know how true this is. I haven't looked it up, but there's this Luke and Leia situation they bring up,
yes.
And it's Star Wars, is that if you don't know that that person is your sibling at all, that you could later in life be more attracted to that person because you seem to have similar traits. So you're attracted to that person going, we seem to have such a great connection.
And you don't know what that connection is.
You have no clue that that person is actually 50% your genes.
Yeah.
But Leia knew all along. She said that.
That is super confusing that she said that. But yeah, I thought that part breakdown was really interesting. Like, you might be drawn to this person and you don't know why.
Yeah.
But the actual reason is you're half related, but you don't know that. And yeah, that part is, I thought they did a good job of laying out the concerns with that.
Okay. So anyways, I'm not saying watch this show or not watch this show. I wouldn't say I love it, but it is.
It's interesting.
I mean, I had no clue that there was this person, man doing this.
It's terrible, but interesting is a good descriptor for it.
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. That's true.
Is he doing anything illegal though?
No, nope. I don't think so.
That will be addressed.
Okay.
In the third episode, that is definitely like a big part of it.
Okay. Okay.
He breaks into the bank and puts his name in.
Well, they say you can only use somebody's sperm so many times at a bank until you're like, we can't use it anymore, because they do worry about overpopulation of one gene.
And that's in one country. The one thing I did learn from watching this, there is not like a worldwide registration database on all of this, and it feels like some countries just operate independently, which would theoretically then give you the opportunity to be like 25 here, 25 here, 25 here, 25 here,
600 there.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, so
have you seen might talk about this off air. Do you dislike any of the couples? Because there's one couple on there that I really don't like.
He wants us to not like this couple so bad.
I haven't gotten to that point. I'm not, because I told Sue last night, I'm like, Kevin told me there's one couple or one person on here, and I'm like, I can't. I said, maybe I'm not watching close enough as I'm listening. Sometimes I'm looking at my phone, and so maybe body language or whatever that you don't like. So I'm like, I haven't found somebody that I dislike.
I was just
so
curious
far.
Because I think Jess was like, yeah, they're not the best, but I don't know if she like disliked them. I did not care for this couple at all.
All right, so this is Friday. Sunday night is the draft. And I'm like super overbooked this weekend.
Major League Baseball draft.
So Sunday, right before the draft starts, my former teammate, head of the Players Association, Tony Clark, has invited me to a deal. But I can't go to it because I'm booked to do some stuff at the, what do they call that?
Like in the All-Star Village and everything?
Yeah, the Village. Yeah. So I'm booked to do some stuff from like 5 to 6:30 or so at the Village.
With
so
the
I can't go to
biggest baseball in the world.
I did see a picture, but I want to see it in person.
And it's only $10 to go to the Village, I think, and to get to do all that stuff. Saturday through Tuesday is when you can do all that. I'll do a lot of stuff Saturday and Sunday. But
it is really cool, Mike, how many events they have. Because when it was here in 95, like I remember I went to the Home Run Derby, but I guess I just don't remember like all of the hoopla involved.
Did you go to like the convention center? Because you said you got some of the cards too, and I feel like that's where I got the cards
at. I did. It just feels like a pretty good bit bigger.
I guess what 30 years 30 later, years,
it's just natural.
They've been able to add more. Yeah. Well, right after the party that I can't go to, Tony Clark then has to jet off because the MLB draft. Yeah. So it's almost like a pre-party to the MLB draft that he's hosting for former players. And obviously, I'm assuming former players that he has a relationship with. And I was looking at this mock draft, Corey. I know you sent me one.
Yeah.
But this one is the most recent one. And it says that Bazana of Oregon State will go number one.
Yes. I've seen that he's a betting favorite in at least one spot.
It says that it's very close, as there's Condon, Charlie Condon, who is probably going to go second, they think.
From Georgia.
But is really close. And then there's Weatherholt, who they say could also go number one, too. But
and that's who Kylie McDaniel has going number one.
Here's the weird part about the MLB draft. I think people have been way more interested. I have, because the Rangers have been picking at the top too many times recently. And obviously, they're not this year. Is one, I don't want to take a second baseman with the number one overall pick. I would just like to be as clear as day. If I was running the Cleveland Guardians, I'm not taking a second baseman unless you're telling me he is going to bat 300 with 40 home runs. That seems like too much of a landlocked position. I'm going to bring up a situation.
Because you find a shortstop that can move, but a second baseman is a second baseman is a second baseman.
Here's the issue with Justin Foscue. Foscue has struggled to make the major leagues because he doesn't have defensive position flex. And if I take a shortstop or a center fielder, I usually have position flex with that guy.
Yeah.
So I look at Condon as an outfielder and third baseman. I have way more position flex with him. Now, maybe Bazana has more position flex than I know. But a lot of times, I don't want to ever take a second baseman in the first round. Never. Because usually second basemen don't have strong arms.
Yeah.
And a lot of times second basemen in the major leagues, I would say 50% of second basemen in the major leagues were shortstops in the minor leagues that you've moved to second base. So I don't get this draft taking a second baseman with one of the top three picks. This dude better be considered one of the greatest hitting second basemen in the history of baseball. If I'm taking a dude who might be landlocked at a position that I can't move him to short ever, I can't move him to third ever. If I move him in the outfield, I might not be able to move him to right field because he has a weak arm because he's a second baseman. So looking at this mock draft and not knowing a lot about the player, Travis Bazana might be unbelievable, but I can't imagine with a number one overall pick taking a second baseman. And then I just want to tell you, a draft can get weird because they have the number three overall prospect being the Jacques, and I can't say his last name, from Florida. They have him going number five overall. They have the number four prospect, Weatherholt, going number seven overall. And this comes down to all of the slotting of the picks and getting guys that will sign for under slot. Now, the thing that I find really interesting in this mock draft is it could play out this way. In the top 10 picks, a high school player does not get picked. And I'm going to tell you something. Without doing the research, I can't tell you if there's ever been a draft where the first 10 picks, there's not one high school player picked.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
How much would it take for you to play baseball for the Houston Astros? And what have you been craving? Next on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.